To be in demand while building your brand, you need a plan to expand. But hey, y'all, that's not all. You need a map for the trap of the pitfalls ahead, bobbing and weaving, all those disbelieving. We are outsmarting and taking aparting the tripwires that can take you down when you're starting. Get ready, Kingdom Builders. It's a thriller. It's a killer. It's a deadly secret spiller. Today, we're here to help you avoid the most dangerous pitfalls when building your brand, business, and ministry. This is the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast with tips, tools, and biblical truth to build your brand, business, or ministry. If you're a Christian speaker, writer, coach, or entrepreneur, this is the podcast you've been praying for. Get ready to increase your impact, income, and influence. Here are your hosts, the mother, her son, and his wife doing business, ministry, and life to shape the culture for Christ. Tamara Lowe, Zach Lowe, and Jillian Lowe. Let's go.
Welcome to the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast. We've got Coach Tamara Lowe, our fearless leader, and myself, Coach Jillian. And today we have a really exciting topic for you. I hope that you lean in, turn up the dial, stop what you're doing, because this is a topic you are going to want to listen in and take notes on. We are talking about the pitfalls that you avoid when building.
Scary, hairy, scary pitfall.
No one knows how to build a brand like you do, because you've had to build many a brand. you've built brands from scratch multiple times. You know, the highs and the lows and all the in-betweens. So we're going to talk about the pitfalls today. So Coach Tam, what do you got to say to that?
Well, let me just say that in building these different brands, Coach Jillian, you know, it was never an ideal time. Mm-hmm. I never had the money. I never had the support. I never felt super confident in my abilities to succeed. At best, I can say I was super obedient. That's the best that I can say. But I have learned some things from building big brands, and I want to share them with you so that you can avoid that. You don't get sidetracked and give a lot of time and energy and emotional energy to things that are kind of common pitfalls. But if you've never done this before, then you don't know what you don't know. So I'm going to toss out a few, and then Jillian, I'm going to pass it back to you. And we want to hear your thoughts and share what is on your heart as well. So I would say number one, and this is easy. This is easy to implement. The only thing you have to do is keep your mouth shut, is shut your trap. Do not tell your dreams to everybody. In fact, I would say keep your circle very, very small, because the thing about people in general, this is just human nature. This is not you, superstar, because you are tuned in here. You're cut of some different cloth. But most people are not just content to kill their own dreams and be fearful and doubtful, unbelieving and inactive and immovable about their own dreams. Most people won't stop there. They want to also kill your dreams. So if you share your dreams with people, don't be surprised if out of concern, they tell you all the reasons why you can't do the thing that God says that you can do. And I'll give you an example. When I first felt called to marketplace ministry, I was in my early 20s, and I felt led to do what might be called Trojan horse evangelism. So I would come in with a business seminar, a sales seminar, a motivational seminar, leadership, time management, that kind of thing. I would sell tickets to it. People would show up. I'd give them everything that they paid for, and then I'd give them a bonus. And I felt led of God to do this. So I was just obedient, and I stepped out in faith. And I said, towards the end, now listen, we've covered a lot of great business principles, leadership principles, sales and marketing principles. And now I'd like to share with you the spiritual dynamics of success. Now, I didn't shove it down anybody's throat. I was polite about it. I said, Hey, we're just getting ready to take a break in a few minutes. And if you would like to take a bit of a longer break and you're not interested in spiritual topics, you're really welcome to leave. It's not a problem. Take a longer break. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all. And then there would be this incredible moment where everybody would just sit still. They were on the edge of their seats. If people were standing up to go to the bathroom, they'd sit back down. And I would share my Christian testimony. I would invite people to come to Christ. I would pray with them. And at the end, they would give me a standing ovation. So I did this from the time that I was in my early 20s, and I was speaking to rooms of just 15, 20, 30 people, all the way as it grew over the years to thousands of people. And then when I was, I'm going to say in my mid to late 20s, I started working with the three kings of motivation is what I call them, Zig Ziglar, Norman Vincent Peale, and Robert Schuller. And these guys were, I mean, like they were the apex, the absolute apex. Norman Vincent Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which was a New York Times bestseller for at least 4 years at the top, number one. Robert Schuller, the founding pastor of the Crystal Cathedral, he was the originator of possibility thinking. And Zig Ziglar was the undisputed king of motivation, no doubt about it. Now, these guys gave me a lot of wisdom and a lot of good advice. But when I asked them for their input on how to evangelize business people, here's what they told me. They said, you can share your faith with business people one-on-one. If you're invited to speak in a church, you can share your Christian testimony, but you cannot share your faith on the stage in a business seminar. You cannot do that. They will boo you off the stage. And I said, well, it's a little too late for that advice because I've been doing it for years. And not only do they not boo me off the stage, they stand up and give me a standing ovation and people come to Christ in the droves. Now, here's my point, and I do have one, is that I'm glad that God told me I could before they told me I couldn't, wow. Right? So if you share your dreams with people, it's very likely they're going to tell you all the myriad of reasons why you can't do the very thing that God has called you to do. And this is a big pitfall that stops a lot of people dead in their tracks. Bunny girl.
Wow. Okay. But I do have one question.
Yes. So
my question to your excellent point number one is, do you have a quick little tidbit of advice? What should people do if they have or they've shared their dream with someone close to them? It might even be their sister or a really close friend or even a spouse, someone that maybe they thought would be safe. What do you think the response should be when it does appear to be that someone's just really concerned?
Sure. And that's the way it'll come across too. Right? It's well-intended. It's not meant to be harmful to you, but that's the net effect often. So what you need to do, if that is the case, if you've shared your dream with somebody and they have poo-pooed on it, they have rained on your Cheerios, then here's the thing to do is you say to them, reflect it back to them so that they know that you got it. They know that you know why they're concerned. So you would say something to the effect of, okay, so here's what I hear you to be saying. I hear you saying that you are concerned about me, that you're concerned that, and reflect back to them what they said. There's a lot of people out there already doing it. The timing's not good. You've got a young child. The economy's not good. You don't have any experience. All the things that they have said is their reasons why you shouldn't do the thing that God has called you to do. Reflect it back to them. Say, this is what I understand you to be saying. Did I get it all? Did I miss anything? No, that's what I'm saying. They'll tell you. And then say, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And I want you to know that I've got it. And I'm going to move forward with the thing that God has called me to do, but I do appreciate your concern. And I hope that you'll be praying for me in faith, believing. And that's it. And I used to do this with my children as well, Bunny, is that when my children would gripe and complain about something, I would reflect it back to them and say, unless you have new information to give me, I want you to know I already got it. I got it. So please, let's not talk about this again because I do have it. And unless you have new information to give me, just know I got it. And go on, because you got to do your destiny.
Yeah, I think that's really good, because when you acknowledge what someone has said, and like you just shared, you reflect it back to them, what else are they going to say? I mean, it just almost becomes like a broken record, like with a child. So if you're a parent out there, that's a very good technique. I will be using that on my kids, because they say the same thing over and over. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, we're going to do this, but I'm going to just say, all right, so you don't want to have to go to school early tomorrow, but da 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 da. Is that it? Is that everything? I'm going to now take that and use it on my kids. This is excellent advice, people. I hope you've got your listening ears on. All right. So my thought for point number two about avoiding pitfalls when building a brand is do you remember the song of the Hokey Pokey? You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in and you shake it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about. And this whole song is about every limb and every part of your body, from your head down to your toes, even your nose, going in, going out. You can't commit. You cannot stay consistent. And I was just thinking about, I'm not going to say who, but there are some people that I have followed, Coach Tam, who they said, I'm going to start a blog. I'm going to start a vlog. I'm going to start a whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay. And they do the first one and they're really juiced up and I read it. And for me, just so you know, skincare, I love skincare. So this influencer was really excited and already had a big following in one area. And they were like, oh no, I'm going to share all my tips and tricks and secrets, what's working and what's not. And I'm going to do a weekly blog. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. The first one, amazing. The second one, nailed it. The third one, crushed it. And after crushed it, crickets.
Crickets.
And I was like, but, and so what? So then I went looking for it and I'm like, oh, I just must have missed it. Like I missed this week, and it would have the links and the pictures and I was all juiced up. And I loved following this beauty blog. I never saw another blog again. And do you know?
Bye-bye, beauty blog.
When I went back, it shows the same thing from 3 years ago. So I just wanted to say that one of the things I don't like as a follower, maybe not, I'm coming at you as a follower, not the expert brand builder. I do not like it when brands that I follow and influencers that I follow that give good content, they'll announce something like, I'm going to start this new thing. And I get super excited. And then you fall off the face of the planet. So I was just thinking about the Hokey Pokey, because it's like, are we in or are we out? Like, what is this? It provides a lot of, I was like, what is that word? Like lack of credibility. Like it takes away your credibility. It doesn't help your branding. Like if you're going to commit to doing something, be consistent.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to announce it, like join me here weekly, where I'm going to give you the blah, 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 blah. You better show up weekly. Like don't get all juiced up and fired up and try to gather people around you to do it. And then like not do the thing or not be consistent. And I almost think even worse than that is if you do it and then you don't do it. And then you come
and
back.
You do it again.
We see
and
then it
you don't do it again.
Oh yeah. We see it on social media all the time. And I see it with people who are just starting out where they're like, I'm going to get into the posting rhythm. Great. What's your strategy going to be? Okay. You're going to post on this day and you're going to post on that day. Please, for the love of all things that you're building, if you're going to build it, but just don't half build it, because if you half build it, it's going to totally fall apart. Coach Tam, what can you say? What can you speak into about being consistent and the lack thereof as a total pitfall when you are building a brand?
Yeah. Well, I would say that it probably springs out of discouragement and negative self-talk more than busyness. I mean, we're all busy. You're busy when you started building your brand. But one way to really, and it's terrible, it's self-sabotage, you're doing it to yourself, is all of us have thoughts that are negative, that are self-critical. to lesser and greater degrees. But can I tell you that we have to be self-disciplined about our thought life? We have to think about what we think about, because, you know, as the scriptures say, that it's out of your heart flow the issues of life.
Yeah.
And so it's the enemy's job to break you down. And he's doing it 24/7. He's telling you all the reasons that you're terrible and you're awful and you'll never amount to anything. And the things that you're doing, they're not going to prosper. That's a weapon formed against you that will not prosper. But I have to say that the more that you agree with the enemy, the less you're going to achieve the things that God has called you to. The more you listen to God, the more you're going to achieve the things God has called you to. So we have to be purposeful about how we think. And when we catch ourselves thinking negative things, we have to stop it. We have to smite it. And a great way to do that is to speak the word of God out of your mouth, is always have the word of God ready on your lips to say, hey, no, no, no. God always leads me in triumphant procession in Christ. I can do all things who strengthen that through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'll always be above and I'll never be below. And you start speaking the word of God and the devil turns tail and flees. And you begin to consistently line up your thoughts the way that God thinks. So
yeah, I agree. And you know, the last thing I was going to say about that is, and this is the truth. And I know that Coach Tam, I can certainly testify to this. You're not always going to feel like doing it.
Right.
And that's the truth. Like, you're not always going to feel like, you know, jumping on the podcast or writing the little post or, you know, having the group coaching call. You're not always going to feel it. You're not always going to be juiced up and have all the good vibes and all the energy that you need, but your feelings can't dictate your ability to be disciplined and consistent. That the discipline is minus the feelings. And bless God, when you're juiced up and energetic and enthusiastic, it's awesome. But even when you're not, you have to show up for your people and yourself and your brand and your business and your ministry the same. So part of being consistent too is actually not giving yourself permission to go, I don't, can you think of how many things in your life? And I know from the gym to everything in between, it's like, oh, I just woke up not feeling it. Well, okay, but if you didn't feel like, if I didn't feel like getting up and taking my kids to school 2-3 days a week, like what would be the consequence of that? So don't let yourself off the hook. Don't let yourself off the hook. You have to hold yourself accountable and say, I'm not going to allow myself to be let off the hook today. Today, I'm showing up for my people. I'm showing up for my brand, my business, and my ministry because it needs you. It needs you to show up for it. So, all right, Coach Tam, what is number 3?
Well, this will be a mouthful.
Good. I love a mouthful.
Okay. So, I want you to be really careful about who you take advice from. Okay. So here's the main thing, is you don't want to take advice from somebody who's never done it. And you don't want to take advice from somebody who's tried and failed. Okay. So, if they've never done the thing that you're being called to do, if you are called to write a book and you want to get your book on the bestseller list, don't ask advice from somebody who's, never written a book, or maybe they wrote a book, but they've only sold a few copies. Don't take advice from somebody like that. Take advice from somebody who's already written a book and knows how to get it on the bestseller list. All right. Like unto that, is I would strongly counsel you, do not pay somebody else to do things that you don't know how to do. So you don't know how to do it. So it makes sense. You're like, okay, it makes sense. I don't know how to do videos. I'm going to pay somebody else to take over that responsibility and they're going to do my videos, or I don't know how to do a podcast, so I'm going to pay somebody else. I don't know how to set up a studio. I'm going to pay somebody else. I don't know how to edit videos. I'm going to pay somebody else to edit my videos. No, no, no. That is all wrong, because as long as you are paying somebody to do something that you don't know how to do. Now, once you know how to do it and you want to outsource it, fine by me. Go ahead. You'll be all the wiser. You'll know exactly what they should be doing, and you'll be able to check on them, and you're going to be able to make them accountable and responsible because you know how to do it. You're not ceding control of your whole business by giving it to them. Here's the better use of your funds. Here's the better use of your money. Instead of paying somebody else to do your video editing, why don't you pay to learn how to do video editing? Pay to learn how to do it yourself. I can't tell you how many times that I've needed to kick out a quick video and I know how to do it. I learned how to do it and I know how to edit the video. If I need a masthead for an ad, I know how to make it. Okay. Now I don't do those things regularly. I know how to copyright, but I have a copywriter that I pay. But a better use of your funds is to learn how to do the thing that you don't know how to do, so that you don't have to give control over your business to somebody else, because that is just a hostage situation. That ransom will never end. You're always going to be paying. And the deeper you get, the more you're going to pay. So instead, use the money, and it'll be a fraction of the money, to learn how to do it. And then you'll have wisdom when you outsource it to somebody else.
That's really good. That's almost like 2 points. I kind of felt like that is a little bit of a stinger when you were saying people who have never done the thing that you're doing, we're not taking advice from them. What is shocking about that is that people give advice all the time, how to raise your kids. They don't even have kids. Why right. You shouldn't write the book. What's wrong with your chapter? What's wrong with your website? They have no business in ministry in sight. That leaves a stinger in, because it is true that everyone, okay, not everyone, but everyone's got an opinion. And people will sound off as though they are confident about their opinion, as though they are an expert in something they know nothing of.
Correct.
And that's actually pretty damaging. And I would say the problem with that too, is that when the people who are saying that are the ones that are closest to us, we tend to, I don't know how to explain it, but we tend to give it more weight. Like, well, it's like our brain doesn't even stop Coach Tam to go, hello, do they have a business? Have they ever... I mean, hello. And you're like, oh no, I didn't. You just naturally cling because it's your spouse, it's your sister, it's your friend. And you just think, oh man, okay, this is not good. I should change this. You are very wise to share that. You have got to pay attention who you let speak into your brand, your business, and your ministry. Especially, we're not just talking about do the dream, don't do the dream. Are they licensed in anyway, I don't mean literally, but I mean, do they have any platform to stand on to be critiquing and telling you what to do? So I love that. Like, that's really, yeah, I love that. I love people, our audience that's live with us is saying like, I really didn't even think about family. They have influence. Be careful how the people you love not only get to decide and have a say whether you do your dream, but how that dream takes shape. That is so good. Wowzers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that hit me, but I was like, because I have people in my life all the time who weigh in on things, and it's not even about building a brand, business, or ministry, but they've never been where I've been. But yet I take their advice as though they've written the book on it. All right.
Sure. That's very common.
Yowzers. All right. Well, this next one is all about your stakeholders. So your stakeholders are your demographic, your people, your target avatar, the people that you're speaking to. Who was your message made for? Who are you here to help? Don't ignore them. One of the pitfalls is we're just building away. Do you know, I had a couple people I saw putting together a boutique, an older woman where in my hometown was putting together a boutique. She had the money to do it, and she was putting together a boutique for younger people. And I was going to maybe work there. And I went to the boutique and I was like, but this, I would never want to be here. Like, I wouldn't want to shop here. Like, I know you're really well-intended and this is who you want to target. You want to target like 18 to 25 and you're in your 50s and this is your, you have the funds, the means to do this. But in my mind, Coach Tam, I was thinking, I would never wear that. I would never buy that. So I want to encourage you, do not ignore your audience. Your best feedback, your best business shaper are the people you're talking to. They're going to sound off about what they need, what they like, what they want more of. Now that's feedback worth taking. That's feedback worth listening. I'm not talking about the naysayers and the dream killers, but I am talking about people who are expressing to you what they want to see more of. You know, maybe you're posting on social media and you have a certain way that you cover a topic or a certain way you do something. But then one day, let's just say you happen to be in your car and you decide to go live from your car or film something from your car, and it's totally different in the way that you would have expressed it or communicated. It was a little more rough around the edges, maybe a little bit more raw. And what happened? All the likes, all the people. And it was like the feedback was positive. Do you know what that positive feedback is saying? We want more of this. We like this. So when I say don't ignore your people, I'm saying they don't know what they know, but they know what they know. And when they're telling you that they really like something or they really engage with you, that's your sign. There's your sign. But if you're going, but I normally film and I've got it all together, and if that is not getting you the result that you're looking for, is I drool, I want to tell you, I feel a drool coming down my face. I'm so passionate. I'm drooling. If that's not yielding the result you're looking for and you do something different and that works, even if it's not what you would normally do, please be, don't be afraid to like change it up. Listen to your audience. Don't ignore them because they are the people you're trying to reach. And guess what? Where they are, there's more of them. There is more of them. And I have seen many an influencer do something or change something. And all of a sudden their brand and their following is growing. And it wasn't how it started, but you know what? They discovered this is how people want this information. This is how they want to receive it. They don't want it like this. They want it like this. Okay. Give them what they want. Coach Tam, yeah. What do you think about that?
Amen. Yeah, I think that's really true. And I would say kind of to tag team on that is that it's really important that you not be a jack of all trades and a master of nothing. Mm. It's really important that you are specific about who you help and how you help them. And you pretty much stick to that niche. And when you're getting started, I'm going to tell you this, that I think one of the most important things that you can do, it's maybe possibly one of the scariest things that you can do as well, but it's one of the most important things for you, for your business, for your finances, and for your future, is that you do not lowball yourself, that you don't think, well, let me just, you know, get my feet wet here by helping people for free, or let me just do this little, you know, $15 seminar or this little, you know, $20 coaching session. Don't do that, okay? Because that diminishes your credibility and it hurts you in terms of your ability to scale what you're doing. You've got to put a valuable price on your valuable time. Okay. Yeah. And recognize all the hell that you have been through to know the things that you know. You've paid a really high price, way higher than they're going to pay you to teach them to learn the things that you know. So I'll give you an example. When I was first getting started with Kingdom Builders Academy, I was in a very low place emotionally, financially, in my health. I was just in a really, really bad place. I had just come through a 3-year long, brutal, devastating divorce. I felt like my life was over. My ministry was over. I wrote a resignation letter to God, and God gave me a vision to equip emerging Christian leaders. He told me to make it easier for you guys. So now I'm giving you good advice here, even though maybe it's a little hard to receive. I'm giving you really good advice here. Okay. So when you make your initial launch, you're not going to make it for peanuts. Okay. So I had $6,000 to my name, and God told me to spend all $6,000. He said, spend all $6,000. Wow. He instructed me to go to a seminar, and it was going to take all $6,000 to do it. I did what he told me to do. And so as a result, when I launched Kingdom Builders Academy, I literally had nothing. I had nothing. But I did have a speaking invitation. I did have that, but I had no product. I had no idea really what I was going to do. I had no clients. I had no website. I had no nothing. So I went and I spoke at this event, and I made an offer, and the offer was for a $2,000 product. And I sold 100 people a $2,000 product. So now all of a sudden I had the resources to get the film equipment, to buy the software that I needed to learn. And even though I could have paid somebody to edit video and I did not know how to do it, I learned how to do it myself. And it was in being budget conscious, but also I knew this principle that if I pay somebody to do it for me, it will never end. I will be paying them for the rest of my life. Let me learn how to do it myself. And then I can more skillfully find the people that I need to help me. So I launched. And then after that initial launch, I took in two clients that were the equivalent of another $100,000 of business with my next two clients. Now I have a little bit of a foundation. Okay. So after that, I was able to lower my prices a little bit. I didn't stay at that super high echelon of people. They're a little bit harder to reach anyway, but I still was charging $800 per month per client. And that's what helped me get the foundation that I needed to scale out something that now has reached hundreds of thousands of people in over 134 nations around the world. I stopped counting at 134. So it's probably a lot more than that, but that's coming from nothing. I mean, I say sometimes, like, I can teach you how to do this stuff on a shoestring, but I can't teach you on no string. You know, yeah. You're going to have to invest a little bit of something, but I was literally coming at it with no string. I had nothing, but that didn't cause me to back down. If anything, it made me more bold and saying, no, I've got to get some good high paying clients here because I've got to pay my bills and I want to be able to scale this thing. So don't sell low ticket anything. Don't mm-hmm. sell low ticket books. Don't sell low ticket courses. Don't sell low ticket events. Don't sell yourself low ticket. Okay. Put a reasonable price tag on it. You say, how much is a reasonable price tag? Go out there and find the other people in your space. If you're a parenting expert, find the top parenting experts. If you're a health expert, who are the top people in that niche? If you are in spiritual development, who are the top people in that niche? And price yourself competitively. And when you do, it's going to give you the ability to make your website look like their website. Your copy is going to be on par with their copy. Your offerings are going to be on par with their offerings. And you can command that when you are setting the stage so that you look and feel and act and sound like a big time player. You're somebody who really can go toe to toe with those guys who are giants in the space if you don't lowball yourself. And if you do, that's another trap. That's another pitfall that now you're constantly clawing to get these low ticket, low appreciation clients. You know, they don't show up for their appointments. They don't do their homework. They always want more. They're calling you when they shouldn't be calling you, and they're not keeping their appointments when they should. No, no, no. You can bypass all of that. You can avoid that whole pitfall simply by elevating your own worth and charging what you're worth.
Amen. Okay, this was such an awesome podcast episode. I love it. And I hope we actually do like a part two, because I thought it was so good. I see our live audience loved it too. And you know what, Coach Tam, we're going to say goodbye for now in the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast, because we are getting ready to take live questions. Because when you are a part of our community, we actually connect with you live. We take your questions, we give you direct feedback. And that is just one way we get up close close and personal with our Kingdom Builders Academy community. So Coach Tam, thanks so much. This was an awesome episode. Everyone, until we see you again, have an amazing week. We love you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hi, this is Tamara Lowe, founder of Kingdom Builders Academy, here with a free gift for you, our loyal podcast listener. We're giving away free copies of my newest book, On Purpose, How to Find, Fund, and Fulfill Your Purpose. You can download your free copy right now at onpurposebook.com. That's www.onpurposebook.com. Thanks for tuning in to the Kingdom Builders Academy podcast today. Join us again for our next exciting episode.